Welcome to the Strongsville United Methodist Church podcast for Mother's Day, Sunday, May 8th. Pastor Dave Scavuzzo spoke from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, with a message called Becoming Children. Pastor Dave reminded us how kids tend to find everything in nothing, and adults find nothing in everything, how children trust and hope, how they have a sense of wonder and are relational and present in the present. The love of Christ can be ours. It's when people are honest, like children, that they are close to Christ.
Hey, Lisa.
Yeah?
Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks.
So pastoral things, so don't start your watch on this message just yet. This doesn't count. This is free right now. Happy Mother's Day to the women, to women even who haven't had biological children, who are here, who nurture and teach and lead and offer themselves. You're a gift to us, and we honor you, and maybe a special Happy Mother's Day to my own wife, and happy anniversary, since I haven't seen you yet. Love you. Wanted also to say just a word of thanks to so many of you who have supported our family in the loss of my dad and mom both. And we've just been knocked out by your faces that we will never forget, that came to visit and care for and touch us. And so many people who came through the line that just said, I don't know what to say. And you said it. You said it in so many ways. We feel really loved and so grateful to have a church where my own dad, who was skeptical about faith and church, found a home here, felt loved here. And the first time I was able to put communion into his bare paws, you know, was so powerful that you helped make those things happen in the way that you treat people. So thank you for that. Thank you to Carl and Christopher, who've been amazing through all this in terms of your love for our family and support. And it's just a great, this is the real body of Christ here, and I'm so, so grateful. The passage that comes from the lectionary, which is, do you know what a lectionary is? It's something that the whole church, the big church, not Catholic Church, Episcopal, they put together these readings so you can get through the Bible in a year. And we've been using that instead of getting into a series just because of all the special things that pop up in the spring. But this is a great passage that pops up on Mother's Day, if you would please. From Luke chapter 18, verse 15 and following. People were bringing even infants, or in the Greek it says little children, to Christ that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter into it." The word of God for the people of God. So the religious people of Jesus' day, the swank, swaggering, sophisticated people of Christ's first century era, didn't like the idea of men interacting with women or children in the best parts of the day. They said it was a waste of time. Don't get mad at me, I'm just saying that's what they said. In fact, from oral tradition that turned into what we call Talmud and Mishnah, which were Jewish books of commentary written for the law, it says this, and I quote, "The one who spends the best part of the day with a woman, a drunk, or a child is wasting their life, will inherit darkness and eventually Gehenna," which means hell. It's pretty harsh. Like it said, even there's an appendix on here that says, not even to speak to the woman who's married to you during the day. They figured that was a waste of time and energy. You're looking at me like I wrote this. I didn't write this. I'm just saying the context of this particular happening. typical of Jesus as he approaches a culture that's gone mad and wrong. People who look at earthly glory in terms of power, fame, honor, prestige, position, fame, wealth. Jesus radically, graphically, subversively turns culture upside down on its head and tells them that it's the opposite of the way it is in the kingdom of God as it comes to us here and now, today, as well as in fullness later one day. A child was of no importance in Jewish society and always a subject to the authority of an elder. Jesus now tells the elders of the community, unless they become like this, they're completely, hopelessly, utterly lost. Jesus just simply tells them that true greatness is found in being little, small things like mustard seeds, little people who don't matter to us, matter to God. This is the way it will be in the kingdom of God. This is the way it is in the kingdom of God, that true importance is largely unimpressive, and that the reign and rule of God reverses the world's pomp and swag and scale of rules. Jesus not only humbles himself, but invites us to do so, not in arbitrary aestheticism or in phony, fake modesty, but he asks us to take an inferior position or to lower ourselves to the place of a child so that we might find what's really meaningful in life. The principle of receiving Jesus and the receiving of these little ones is critical to him and critical to us. Don't moms do this best, honestly? Don't they quietly and humbly wash, cook, clean, love, work, provide, both inside and outside of the home oftentimes, and act as air traffic controllers for their children without status, accomplishment, industry? But mothers are revered for the self-giving love that works today still. One mother is worth 20 good teachers. One mother is worth 46 good pastors. Mothers, it seems, are amazing people in that they offer themselves completely and utterly and humbly for the good and for the goal and for the hope of others. And it kills them to see them grow up and kills them even more to have them stay home and get old. Jesus now offers a different way of life to look at it. Like maybe the things that mean the very most to us are found in the power of trusting and dependency in relationships. Children are wild in this way, aren't they? Whereby that they believe even in belief. They believe in so much. Pumpkins into coaches, beasts into princes. They believe that chubby guys can slide down chimneys and turn teeth into dollars, mice into horses, and nothing into everything. Kids have an innate ability to trust and to hope. They have a mechanism within them, until we damage it, of assuming that basic needs, food, hunger, love, care, will be offered if they would only but offer themselves under the regime of trust. Do you remember when kids were little and thunder and lightning would flash and kids would huddle together with parents? They would run into community. It's only as we get older and creepier that when we're frightened or afraid, we get meaner and defensive. And we find techniques to shut others out and to build clubs and communities of people that look and smell just like us, so that our fears are assuaged. It's amazing that children, until they're really burned, inherently trust. Jesus, on such a Mother's Day, invites us to become like children and to believe again, to believe that God really is good, to believe that pain even can work towards goodness, that people can be trusted, and if they can't be, that maybe we should trust them anyhow sometimes. Kids have an inherent ability to wonder. Everything to a 5-year-old is exciting, is it not? 2-year-olds can be like blenders without a top on them. They spin around and find more fun in a worm than they do in an iPad. They play in a box instead of using the toy in which it was packaged. To trade a childhood wonder for plausible explanation is not only the worst trademarks of adults, but it's one of the grossest and most boring. This is what we've done in churches, is that we've taken butterflies and pinned them into felt, and we've put frogs in formaldehyde to analyze and detect and to explain away mystery and beauty and goodness of God, and we've somehow lost some of the flightiness and mystery and movement of real faith. Children find everything and nothing. Adults have found nothing and everything. Adults, they work and earn and scrap and look for status from people who really don't care about them. And then they use their money to spend on things that end up in garage sales or auction sales or estate sales someday. Children seem to invest their life in wonder. They don't care about money. I had a nephew who was like 5 years old. His parents were like ultra responsible, wanted him to learn a budget and invest in stocks and all that kind of stuff. But they started with giving him an allowance of nickels. They gave him 3 nickels and they tried to assuage some kind of value that came with the nickels. And this is how you work life. 1 month he ate them. He did. He just wondered and he ate them. And they took him, this is a true story that happened. They took him to an emergency room, they scanned his insides, they said, it's fine, it'll come out in the end. It will. And they had to make sure that it did, but it did. But that's what he thought of nickels. Somehow, I think the things that we love best about this world, we first learn to love it as children. I think, honestly, that we spend most of our childhood looking out a window pane, looking at things through the lens of wonder, and then most of our adulthood trying to find that window, to press our nose up against it, to find the watering hole, or the home, or that tree that created that wonder and mystery in our lives, wishing we could somehow re-enter the innocence of that moment again. I think the very best adults you run into, you can see a child in them. I think the very worst adults act like grown-ups all the time. I think the very best kids have adult-like qualities about them, and the very worst of kids are only just kids. You know what I mean? There's a woman in her 90s who comes to our formal 8:15 service where nobody giggles or blinks or anything, and they're very sweet, but they're just serious. So I think it was my third Sunday here. This beautiful lady walked out of the door and she said, Pastor, I never know what's going to come out of your, do you call it a pie hole? She said to me. I never, she said, know what's going to come out of your pie hole on a Sunday. And I said, is that good or bad? And she went like this. To me, it's good, she said. And she sparkled. And for a moment, I just thought I saw a 6-year-old girl in her. And I keep seeing it reemerge. I keep seeing it reemerge in this beautiful, beautiful woman. I think there was a time in us that we really wanted to know. We did. We wanted to know the truth. And we sought for it, and we fell off ladders, and we were burned or got wet, and some of us even almost drowned because we wanted to really, really know. And something happens to us before middle school or in middle school that says to us, the truth is painful. The truth hurts. When people say something that's a reality, it makes us withdraw into our own selves, wishing it weren't true. And because of our cowardice nature, or maybe our sin nature, we stop looking for the truth. We start to bury the truth. We start to live on what works for us instead of what's real and profound and truthful. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I think he means that when we embrace or look or find the truth or say the truth, no matter how painful, we're coming very close to real truth, which is not a concept or some abstract thought. It's a person. The truth is a person. His name is Christ. And when people are honest, they're close to Jesus, no matter what rhetoric they use about faith. And when people lie and use pretense and move away from wonder, people are far away from God, no matter what rhetoric they use. Come on this Mother's Day and reawaken, or let wonder be reawakened in you. The truth which will make you free in the end will make you joyful and glad and full of hope. Children are by nature relational, are they not? Our middle daughter was automatically relational, just connected, thoughtful, kind of deep even as a kid. We used to play the game of life all the time. You remember the game where if you get to the middle millionaire's row, you win? And it's all about just kind of accumulating along the way. Well, our middle daughter, she just would have like four or five of those little cars with a bunch of kids in them. She would even cheat so that she could get more kids. And I would think, oh boy, that's not good, because kids don't do you anything but cause you trouble and money, even though I had a couple of them. But I would tell her, maybe you just want to move on and run the spinner again and kind of like get some money and get to millionaires. Like I'd say, you don't even get how life works. I'm just saying. She would say to us, didn't she, honey? She would say, the game only matters if we're together. She would say that. The game only matters if we're together. Kids just get this. They seem unconscious sometimes of race or rank. They don't care if nations fall or art decays or sea dries up or civilizations crumble, which they all will someday. All they really care about is being together and knowing love and being loved and exchanging love. Kids are authentic and real in the midst of it. They seldom misquote. In fact, they usually repeat word for word what you shouldn't have said, don't they? There's only two things a child will share willingly: communicable diseases and their mother's age, or things you shouldn't have said. Kids relationally do grief best. They just cry and literally toxins come out of their body and then they bounce back and play again. Jesus said to a group of stuffy religious leaders like me, I praise you, Father, that you have hidden these things from those who think they're wise and learned and revealed them to simply little children. Candid, honest, hopeful, trusting little children. Lastly, I think kids are amazing in that they don't know time. When summer comes, they don't know that fall's coming after that, little children. Stories begin with once upon a time, but a child's story begins with this, once before a time. Once before they knew that a clock could ruin the day. Once before they knew that there's only 2 weeks left and then we have to go back to school. For a child, summer is just simply summer. And a holiday at Christmas is just Christmas, eternally Christmas, until somebody says it's time to do it all over again. There are millions and millions and millions of America that are noble, fearless, clever, and present to other people. Unfortunately, 99% of them are from the ages of 4 to 6. For the rest of us, bills and taxes and food and image management take up way too much time, as well as washing windows and cutting grass and worrying about dandelions and things that kids just don't get. I would encourage you on this Mother's Day to think about just being present to each other, enjoying the gift around you, realizing that Christ is here and that Christ is real and that he offers to every true child of his, those who would humble themselves and come to him as a child, to be an heir of his and a co-heir of God. Think of this. Everything that God has could be yours. through trust and wonder and becoming present to the very love of Christ. I'll close with this story. You're okay? So, Arnold Palmer, a true story that happened. He became friends in a backhanded way with the king of Saudi Arabia. They were enchanted with golf. They wanted him to come there and put on exhibitions of golf and to show them, you know, how the game works. And he did that graciously. This man who was a wonderful ambassador, not only for the game of golf, but as a human being. At the end of his time there, he presented the king with this crystal bowl that he had brought for him as a gift. And then the king was so touched and impressed, he said, "I want you to name anything you want and I'll give it to you." He just said, "The gift is to be here, to be with you, to be in a relationship." The king pressed him even more, "You'll offend me if you don't name something that I can give to you." He said, "Okay, how about a golf club I could remember you by?" And the next day, before Arnold Palmer got on a plane to come back to America, a limousine pulled up and one of the servants came to his door, tapped on it, and gave him the deed to a property to a golf club. A country club. A 36-hole, magnificent club that was given to him. He said, "All I wanted was a driver." It's this way with God, is it not? Those of you who come lovingly, openly to be forgiven, to be taken in by the grace of Christ, you think you're going to get a club. You might just get a club. You really might. Jesus one time wept over Jerusalem and said, "If only they had known the peace I came to give them." We think we want stuff and prestige and status that will end up in tomorrow's garage sale. And all along, the kindness, the forgiveness, the eternal hope, the joy, the love of Christ could be yours. Pray with me. On this Mother's Day, God, we not only honor these women you've given to us to help bring us home to you, but now we come as children ourselves, trusting again, daring to believe in you again, relinquishing our rights, hoping that your forgiveness is as profound as Jesus claimed it was, coming in wonder, coming to be present to each other and to you, looking to inherit a club, maybe finding ourselves with a club, with a great hope that beyond our expectation and belief, Christ is real, present, and alive. Amen.